Welcome to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. Today, we've got a really interesting mix. We're diving into some cutting-edge memory systems, research that's directly relevant to AI inference workloads, a clever systems paper about container image pulling, and on the news side, Jim Keller is back with a new venture that has the architecture world buzzing, plus some history, some interconnect analysis, and more. Let's get into it. All right, first up, we've got a paper from Archive titled Tile Lens, Efficiently Using Large Granularity Memory Systems with Transparent Two-Dimensional Memory Layout. This one comes from Jay Hyung Ju, Yuejin Chung, Hutvik Taneja, and colleagues. And I have to say, this paper hits on something that I think is fundamentally important as the industry races to feed AI workloads with more and more memory bandwidth and capacity. So let's set the stage. If you've been following AI hardware at all, you know that one of the biggest bottlenecks for running large language model inference, we're talking about the process of actually getting answers out of a model like GPT or Llama, is memory. Specifically, high bandwidth memory, or HBM, is the stuff that sits close to your GPU and feeds it data at very high speeds. But HBM is expensive, and it has limited capacity. So researchers and hardware designers have been exploring alternatives. Two proposals the paper focuses on are high bandwidth flash, or HBF, and something called Romi. These are memory systems that either offer more capacity or more bandwidth than traditional HBM. Sounds great, right? More room for bigger models, more throughput. But here's the catch, and this is really the crux of the paper. These new memory systems have a much coarser access granularity.
Meaning, when you ask them for data, they give you a chunk measured in kilobytes, not the smaller cache line size chunks we're used to dealing with in traditional memory hierarchies. Think of it like this. Imagine you're at a library and you need one specific sentence from a book. A traditional memory system lets you flip right to that page and read just that sentence. But these large granularity memory systems, they hand you an entire chapter every time you ask for anything. If what you needed was spread across 10 different chapters, you're now fetching 10 full chapters to get 10 sentences. That's a lot of wasted bandwidth. And that's exactly the problem the authors identified. The dominant compute operation in large language model inference is tiled matrix multiplication. Tiling is a classic optimization where you break a big matrix operation into smaller subproblems that fit nicely in fast local memory, something we think about a lot in processor design. But when your data is laid out in memory in the conventional row major or column major format, and your memory system has this coarse kilobyte level granularity, you end up pulling in huge amounts of data you don't actually need. The paper shows this can degrade performance by up to an order of magnitude. That's 10 times slower. That's enormous. So what's the solution TileLens proposes? It's a transparent two-dimensional memory layout. The key word here is transparent, meaning the software doesn't have to be rewritten to take advantage of it. The idea is to rearrange data in memory so that the tiles that tiled matrix multiplication wants to access are physically contiguous in memory. When your memory system hands you a kilobyte chunk, it contains exactly the data you are going to need for that tile anyway, instead of scattered pieces of multiple tiles. It's a brilliant and elegant approach because it works with the grain of the hardware rather than against it. Instead of fighting the access granularity of these new memory systems, you co-design the data layout to match it.
And doing this transparently at the memory system level means existing software stacks can benefit without modification. For those of us thinking about processor and memory subsystem design, this paper is a great reminder that as memory technology evolves, and it is evolving rapidly, we need to think holistically about data layout, access patterns, and memory hierarchy together. It's not enough to just bolt on a new memory technology and hope it performs well. The interaction between your compute access patterns and your memory granularity is fundamental. This is exactly the kind of co-design thinking that drives good silicon outcomes. Really solid research here. Check the show notes for links. Now let's move on to our second paper from Archive, Bounded Memory Parallel, Image Pulling for Large Container Images. This one is from Sri Saran Balaji Valore Rajakumar, Henry Wang, Ankur Singh, and colleagues. Now at first glance, this might seem a little further from core processor architecture, but stick with me, this is incredibly relevant to anyone deploying AI infrastructure at scale, and it has real implications for how we think about system-level performance.
Here's the problem they're solving. AI and machine learning workloads increasingly run inside containers. If you've worked in cloud infrastructure or data centers, you know, containers are everywhere. They're a clean way to package up software and all its dependencies, so it runs consistently across different machines. But for AI workloads, these container images have gotten absolutely massive. We're talking 31 to 48 gigabytes compressed. That's a lot of data. Why does this matter? Because every time you spin up a new training or inference job, or when you update a host machine, you have to pull that image down before you can start working. And that pull is on the critical path. You can't start the job until the image is there. The paper notes that for GPU workloads, this image pull has actually become the dominant component of startup time. You've got these incredibly powerful, incredibly expensive GPU clusters sitting idle waiting for a container image to download. That's painful. The existing approach in the dominant container runtime, container does something called in-memory ordered reassembly. Basically, it downloads chunks of the image, keeps them in memory, puts them together in the right order, and then writes them out. Sounds reasonable, but the problem is that for 40 plus gigabyte images, you can end up consuming enormous amounts of host memory during the pull process. Memory that your actual compute workload could be using. The solution the authors present is called disk back parallel pull, or DBPP. The core idea is to parallelize the download, grabbing multiple chunks simultaneously to saturate available network bandwidth. But instead of reassembling everything in memory, you back it with disk. You write chunks out to disk as you receive them and do the reassembly there, bounding the amount of host memory consumed during the pull. Think of it like building a large puzzle. The old way was to keep all the pieces floating around on your kitchen table, your memory, until you figured out where they all go. The DBPP approach is more like sorting pieces into label boxes on a shelf as they arrive, and then assembling from the boxes, you never have all the pieces cluttering the table at once. The reason this resonates with me from an architecture standpoint is that it's really about understanding where your bottlenecks are in the full system stack. We spend a lot of time optimizing compute, making processors faster, improving caches, tuning memory hierarchies. But if your system is sitting idle because of an infrastructure inefficiency, like a slow container pull, all that compute optimization is wasted. Real world performance is a full stack problem. For architects designing systems for data center and AI inference deployment, this kind of work matters. The gap between peak theoretical throughput and actual achieved throughput is often dominated by these infrastructure level issues. Startup latency, image management, orchestration. DBPP is a practical deployable improvement that can meaningfully reduce time to first token for inference services and improve cluster utilization. That has real dollar value at scale. Great work from this team. Links in the show notes. Okay, let's pivot to the news. And I've got to say, the biggest story in computer architecture this week, maybe this month, is the announcement around Ahead Computing.
The headline from Tech PowerUp is Ahead Computing introduces breakthrough CPU architecture for general purpose computing with Jim Keller on board. And yeah, that last part is doing a lot of heavy lifting in terms of generating attention. If you're in this industry and you don't know Jim Keller's name, let me give you the 30-second bio. This is the engineer behind the DSC Alpha 2.1264, the original AMD Athlon 64, the AMD Zen architecture, Apple's A4 and A5 chips, a stint at Tesla working on their AI chips, and most recently Intel. The man has a resume that reads like a greatest hits of modern CPU design. When Jim Keller attaches his name to a new architecture effort, people pay attention, and they should. Now, the details from Ahead Computing are still pretty sparse. This is a company coming out of stealth, and they're being careful about what they reveal. What they're claiming is a breakthrough architecture for general purpose computing. That's a bold statement.
The general purpose CPU space is crowded and competitive. You've got ARM dominating mobile and increasingly servers, x86 still holding a massive installed base in data center and desktop. And of course, RISC-V growing rapidly and embedded and starting to make serious moves in compute. What I find fascinating here is the timing. We're in a moment where the traditional CPU architecture playbook, the one that's been running since the RISC revolution of the 80s and the out-of-order execution revolution of the 90s, is showing its limits. Single-threaded performance improvements are hard to come by. Power efficiency is a massive constraint, and the diversity of workloads, especially AI workloads, is pushing architects to rethink fundamental assumptions. Is Ahead Computing working on something genuinely novel in terms of execution model? A new approach to instruction-level parallelism, a different memory hierarchy philosophy? We don't know yet, but Keller's involvement suggests this isn't just a marketing exercise. He tends to work on real architectural problems.
From a RISC-V perspective, it'll be interesting to see whether Ahead Computing engages with the OpenISA ecosystem or goes proprietary, given the trend toward open standards and the momentum RISC-V has right now. And I'm obviously biased here at Condor Computing and Andy's technology. I think any new architecture effort that ignores RISC-V is leaving something on the table.
We'll be watching this one closely. Check the show notes for the full Tech Power Up coverage. Next up, How to Geek ran a piece called Deja Vu, a brief history of every Mac CPU architecture. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. This is a mainstream tech site writing Mac history, not exactly dense research. But I actually think this piece is worth a few minutes because the history of Mac CPUs is genuinely a fascinating case study in how and why architecture transitions happen. And there are real lessons here for the current moment. The Mac has run on Motorola 678-8000 series chips, then PowerPC, a joint effort between Apple, IBM, and Motorola, then Intel x86, and now Apple Silicon, which is their own ARM-based design. That's four major ISA transitions over the history of the platform.
Four times Apple has decided the incumbent architecture no longer served their needs and made the leap to something new. What's interesting when you look at these transitions is the pattern. Each one was driven by a combination of performance, power, efficiency, and control. The move from 68K to PowerPC was about raw performance. The move from PowerPC to Intel was about power. The G5 chips were running hot and loud and couldn't scale to laptops the way Apple needed. And the move to Apple Silicon was about reclaiming control of the full stack. Combining the CPU with the GPU, the neural engine, the memory subsystem in a unified architecture, and the power efficiency gains were extraordinary. If you squint at this from a RISC-V perspective, the lesson is that ISA transitions happen when the benefits, whether in performance, efficiency, cost, or control, become compelling enough to justify the pain of migration. RISC-V's proposition is really about that last dimension, control, the ability to customize to own your architecture, to not pay ISA licensing fees, to participate in an open ecosystem.
For the right applications. And increasingly for the right companies, that's a compelling offer. Apple's story also illustrates how vertical integration and tight hardware-software co-design can produce results that a more fragmented supply chain can't match. At Condor Computing and Andy's Technology, we think about that co-design philosophy a lot. How do you build processor IP that gives customers the flexibility to optimize for their specific workload, their specific system, rather than accepting a one-size-fits-all solution? The Mac history is really a masterclass in why that matters. Fun read, check the show notes. All right, last story today, and this one is more technical. Semiconductor Engineering published a piece on ARM Neoverse CMN700 performance analysis methodology. The CMN700 is ARM's coherent mesh network interconnect designed for their Neoverse server class processors, the kind of chips you find in AWS Graviton instances, Ampere Ultra servers, and similar cloud infrastructure. Now, interconnect design is one of those areas that I think is chronically underappreciated outside of the community of people who actually work on it.
When we talk about multi-core and many-core processors, the conversation tends to focus on the cores themselves. How wide is the issue window? What's the cache hierarchy look like? How good is the branch predictor? But increasingly, especially as core counts grow and as AI workloads stress memory systems in new ways, the interconnect is the critical path. The Semiconductor Engineering article focuses on performance analysis methodology, specifically, how do you understand what's actually happening inside the CMN700 when requests are being queued, routed, and serviced? The key insight they highlight is that a lot of latency, stall, and throughput limitation that people attribute to the cores is actually happening in the interconnect. You think your cores are slow. Actually, your mesh network is congested. Think of it like a city's road network. You can build the most powerful cars in the world. But if the roads are poorly designed or if traffic management is bad, those cars are going to be stuck in gridlock.
The CMN700 methodology is about putting sensors on the roads, understanding where traffic is backing up, where the routing decisions are suboptimal, where you're hitting bottlenecks that have nothing to do with the engines in the cars. For RISC-V architects and chip designers, this is directly relevant. As RISC-V moves from the embedded space, where Andy's Technology has incredible expertise in market leadership, into server class, multi-core designs, interconnect design and analysis, becomes critical. How you move data between cores, between clusters, between the processor and the memory subsystem can make or break a design, even if every individual core is well optimized. The methodology piece is also interesting from a debug and validation standpoint. One of the hardest parts of silicon bring up and performance tuning is understanding why your chip isn't performing the way your simulation said it would. Rigorous interconnect analysis methodology, understanding the queuing theory, the routing behavior, the coherency protocol interactions is essential for closing that gap. If you're working on any kind of multi-core RISC-V design, this is a worth your time read.
Links in the show notes as always, and that brings us to the end of today's episode of Condor Currents. We covered a lot of ground, from creative memory layout optimization for AI inference workloads, to smarter container image pulling for AI infrastructure, to Jim Keller's new architecture venture, a trip through Mac CPU history in a deep dive into interconnect performance methodology. Good stuff all around. Condor Currents, Brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you're building silicon and want world-class RISC-V processor IP with proven deployment at massive scale, go check out condorcomputing.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us grow the show and reach more of the architecture community. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have more cutting-edge architecture research and the latest developments in the RISC-V ecosystem. Until then, keep building the future.